सर्वेषां सुप्रभातम्। योगसूत्र परिचय वर्गस्य विंशः वर्गः, फेब्रुवरी मासस्य अष्टादशः दिनाङ्कः। विल् स्टार्ट् वित् द मङ्गलश्लोक, द प्रार्थनाश्लोक। योगेन चित्तस्य पदेन वाचां मलं शरीरस्य च वैद्यकेन, योपाकरोत्तं प्रवरं मुनीनां पतञ्जलिं प्राञ्जलिरानतोऽस्मि। सो वी विल् स्टार्ट् वित् द रिव्यू आफ् द प्रीवियस् क्लास्। इन् क्लास् 19 इनिशियलि वी स्पोक् अबौट् प्रतिपक्षभावनम्। In the course of discussion, we also discovered that Pratipaksha Bhavanam acts as Badha Nivaranam. Badha Nivaranam in the sense is helps to overcome the obstacles, overcome the opposing thoughts, overcome the non-conducive thoughts in the practice of Yama and Niyama. So Pratipaksha Bhavanam is helpful that way. So twin roles of Pratipaksha Bhavanam we discussed. So the Patanjali Yoga Sutra itself mentions that Vitarka Badhane Pratipaksha Bhavanam. So in case of negative thoughts or opposing thoughts or non-conducive thoughts which is not helpful for the practice of Yama and Niyama, do Pratipaksha Bhavanam. So the one function of Pratipaksha Bhavanam is to remove the obstacles in the path of the practice of the first two limbs of yoga, that is Yama and Niyama, Ashtanga Yoga. And the second role that we discovered from the Vyasa Bhashya is, it is Pratipaksha Bhavanam which leads to the firmness in the practice of Yama and Niyama, Siddhi Prapakam. It also leads us towards the success in the practice of Yama and Niyama. So this idea is presented by Vyasa when he says that Ahimsa Pratishthayam. So the meaning of the word Pratishtha, firmness, steadiness in the practice of Ahimsa, Satya, Asteya, etc. is attained only by this Pratipaksha Bhavanam. So the twin roles of Pratipaksha Bhavanam as that of removing obstacles in the path of the practice of Yama and Niyama, and also leading it to a state of success in the practice of Ahimsa, Satya and other limbs of Yama and Niyama was also discussed in the first portion. Then Yama Niyama Yoho Avantara Phalani, we started out discussing the intermediate benefits of the practice of Yama and Niyama. This was also discussed that the ultimate goal of Yama and Niyama is to facilitate Ashuddhi Kshaya, is to facilitate the reduction of impurities in the mind. The real goal is that, as it was mentioned in the very first sutra regarding Ashtanga Yoga, Yoganga Anushthanad Ashuddhi Kshaye. That is the real goal, but in the process of practice and a level of success in Yama and Niyama, of course, certain unintended benefits manifest on their own, they are called as avantara phalani. This term is not in the Patanjali Yoga Sutra, avantara phala, but it's introduced by me. So, intermediate benefits are found. They were discussed with regard to Yama, Ahimsa, Satya, Asteya, Brahmacharya, Aparigraha. When all these five reach firmness, steadiness, then what are the additional benefits that one derives by attaining the firmness in these? It was discussed that Ahimsa pratishthayam vairatyagaha. When ahimsa becomes really firm, then vairatyagaha, the yogi who has attained this state, he radiates friendliness, or he influences others to shed their enmity towards each other. Satya pratishthayam kriya phala ashrayatvam. When being established in truth completely, yogi, whatever he utters become true. Kriya phala ashrayatvam. And then asteyam, non-stealing. When pratishtha or firmness in asteyam is attained, Sarvaratna upasthanam. There is a small spelling mistake. Sarvaranta upasthanam. It should be Ratna upasthanam. Asteyam leads to attainment of various riches. All the wealth will be offered to a yogi who attains firmness in asteya. And then Brahmacharya pratishthayam viryalabhaha. On attainment of Brahmacharya, virya is attained. Strength is attained, and we saw from the Vyasa Bhashya that the virya here refers to the refinement of the intellect. The refinement of intellect in such a way that it becomes fit to teach the students who approach. So, Brahmacharya is presented by Vyasa in that light, that when Brahmacharya is followed, that is abstinence from sexual activity, that at the level of body, speech and mind, when that is practiced, then Vyasa says that the intellect gets refined in such a manner that it very efficiently conveys all the knowledge sought by the students. It's a very unique way of interpreting Brahmacharya that we find in Vyasa Bhashya of the Yoga Sutras. And then Aparigraha, when the Aparigraha or non-acceptance of anything from anyone, that becomes very firm, then Janma Kathanta Sambodhaha. A yogi, a practitioner who has excelled in this, he realizes what his past, present and future births are. The nature of the past, present and future births. The purpose of the past, present and future births. All that is understood by a yogi when he becomes very firm in Aparigraha. So thus we saw the benefits of the intermediate benefits of Yama in the previous class. Now we shall take up the avantara phalas of Niyama. Niyama, as you know, begins with Chaucha, Santosha, Tapas, Swadhyaya, Ishvara Pranidhanani. Now, Chaucham. Chauchat Swanga Jugupsa Parai Rasam Sargaha. Sutra number 40 and 41. Mention the two sutras mention about the benefits derived out of shaucham, purity. Commentators like Hariharananda Aranya say that the first sutra on shaucham in this context mentions the benefits derived out of external purity, And then the second sutra mentions the benefits of attaining a great height in internal purity. The first sutra on Shaucha's benefits is Shaucha Swanga Jugupsa Parai Rasam Sargaha. So that is the benefit of internal purity. External purity. So when the body is kept clean, when the external body is kept clean, what happens is Swanga Jugupsa. A sense of dislike towards the body firms up. Jugupsa is dislike or disgustment. Sva Anga, one's own limbs. So disgustment or sense of dislike towards this limbs becomes firm. It should be understood this way, that as long as the body consciousness remains, it is very difficult to move inwards towards the higher spiritual ideas. So this sutra says that as a person becomes very, very much involved in purifying his external body, then he understands that it is impossible to keep this external frame in absolute state of purity. It again and again accrues impurities. So in a sense he is disgusted, that he understands that this cannot be cleaned at all completely. So this again and again gets impurities. So slowly his focus moves from the body to inwards. So this also assists. So maintaining purity also assists in firming up his conviction that one has to move inwards. And Swanga Jugupsa, that is one benefit of Shaucha, external bodily cleanliness, maintenance of bodily cleanliness, and this in turn also leads to parair asamsargaha, paraihi with others, physical contact with others. It also helps in avoiding physical contact with others. Samsarga is contact, asamsarga is avoidance of contact with paraihi, others. So when a person is disgusted or he dislikes his own limbs as being impure, then how will he get into physical contact with others? So indulgence in sensual activities, that will also slowly diminish, that will also become weakened by the practice of Shaucham. So thus Shaucha, the internal and external shaujas help a yogi to understand the nature of one aspect of drishya, that is the body, to be impure, but still it has to be kept periodically, it has to be cleansed, but he has to move beyond that. That is also achieved, and non-involvement in physical contact with others for sensual activities, that is also achieved by Shaucham. So Hariharananda Aranya says these two benefits, Swanga Jugupsa and Paraira Samsargaha, are because of the constant endeavor of a yogi to maintain his external frame clean. So of course I understand that a yogi practices meticulous shaucha in the initial stages. We see that sages like Ramana Maharshi and others, they of course were maintained all those things, but at a later stage when they attain greater realization, they didn't really care about their physical frame. So that comes later, but at the initial stages, Shaucha is very essential in progressing towards a goal. This is the sutra, first sutra on the benefits of external Shaucha. Now, internal Shaucha leads to the next sutra, Sattva Shuddhi, Saumanasya, Aikagriya, Indriya Jaya, Atma Darshana Yogyatvanicha. So, five-step benefit is mentioned here, which are connected with each other. So, the sutra says, by internal Shaucha, what happens is Sattva Shuddhi. Sattva Shuddhi is, according to Vijnana Bhikshu, Sattvodreka. Vyasa does not really add any new idea to it. But, so, I am going to Vijnana Bhikshu's commentary. He says, Sattvodreka, when the internal purity or keeping the mind free from impure thoughts or non-helpful thoughts in the progress of yoga, then what is attained is Sattva Shuddhi or Sattva Udreka, the upsurge of Sattva, the upsurge of Sattva Guna in the mind. Okay, so what will this upsurge or increase or spurt in Sattva Guna help in? It will lead to Saumanasyam. Saumanasyam, Sattva Shuddhi, there is a cause and effect connection, there is a linkage that way. Sattva Shuddhi leads to Saumanasyam. Saumanasyam, Preetihi, a state of bliss or a happiness that is achieved. When Sattva is dominant, then Sukham or Preetihi or Saumanasyam, the mind becomes Shobhanam, the mind becomes really good, very happy that way. And then what is achieved by Saumanasyam is Indriya Jayaha. To Saumanasya, Vijnana Bhikshu says, Swataha Eva Anandaha Jayate. A yogi will be in a state of happiness, Ananda, because of Sattva Shuddhi. He will be in a pleasant state of mind because of Sattva Shuddhi arising out of Shaucham. Then, from Saumanasya, what is achieved is, I missed one thing, Aikagriyam. Saumanasya Aikagriyam should be here. Sattva Shuddhi Saumanasya Aikagriya, that part is missing here. Aikagriyam is single-pointed focus. A pleasant mind can attain one-pointedness easily rather than a disturbed mind. So, this Saumanasyam will be very conducive for attainment of Ekagrata or single-pointed focus. So, when the yogi desires to meditate, then this Saumanasyam, a natural state of pleasant mind, that will help him. So when the rajas and tamas are dominating, they will not allow the mind to settle into focusing or meditating. And hence, Saumanasyam, or the pleasant mind, naturally leads to easy attainment of Ekagrata or Aikagriyam, single pointed focus in whichever object the yogi desires to focus. Aikagriyam. And then Aikagriyam further leads to Indriya Jayaha. Indriya Jayaha is control over the senses. When the mind is under control, when the mind acts conducively, attaining focus, it is the mind that controls the senses. Naturally, the senses are also conquered by the single-pointed focus that is attained by Shaucha. Indriya Jayaha. Jaya is conquering or success over the indriyas or the sense organs. And then from this indriya jaya, what comes is atma darshana yogyatvam. From indriya jaya, only the one who has attained control over the senses, the one who has conquered the senses, only he attains yogyatvam, the qualification to visualize or darshanam, to realize the Atman, the soul. So there is this connection of this chain of benefits are derived by the practice of Shaucha. No other limb or aspect of Yama and Niyama have been given so many benefits. So in two sutras, Swanga Jugupsa Paraira Samsargaha, Sattva Shuddhi, Saumanasya, Aikagriya, Indriya Jaya, and Atma Darshana Yogyatvam. That is the qualification to realize the self, that is even attained by Shaucha. So Shaucha here is underlined as an essential, indispensable practice. Swachhata, cleanliness, internal and external, that is mentioned as an important part of the Ashtanga. So these are the benefits of Shaucham. The next one is Santoshaha. Santoshaha. By Santosha, the Sutra 42 says, Santoshat Anuttamaha Sukhalabhaha. It means, by Santosha, Sukhalabhaha, attainment of happiness or comfort is achieved. What kind of happiness? Anuttamaha. Again, I missed that adjective here. Anuttamaha. Anuttamaha, unparalleled or very high level of happiness is achieved by Santosha. Again, the commentators, Vyasa puts a verse here. He quotes a verse in explaining this sukha. He says, Yachcha kama sukham loke, kama sukham loke, yachcha divyam mahat sukham, trishna kraya sukhasya ete narahataha shodashim kalam. As we see, santosha is contentment, is not desiring much, not going for things which are not essential for day-to-day survival, not beyond that, not collecting materials which are beyond the basic necessity of survival. So when such attitude, when such contentment is achieved, what comes is, the commentators say, trishna kshayaha. Trishna means craving, kshayaha is reduction or destruction of trishna. Craving is reduced, craving diminishes, craving to attain external things, they simply disappear. So when the craving for external things vanish or reduce, then what happens naturally is Anuttamaha Sukhalabha, unparalleled happiness. Here, Vyasa Shloka that I quoted says that Kama Sukham, sensual pleasure, gives happiness, a great level of happiness. And then Divya Sukham, attainment of heaven and such other benefits is more pleasurable, the second degree of happiness. But trishnakshaya sukhasya ete narahata shodashim kalam. These happinesses that are achieved by sensual pleasure and also by attainment of heavenly happiness, like attaining the swarga, swarga bhoga, all these things, they do not form even the 1/16th part of the happiness that is achieved by overcoming craving for things external. Trishna Kshayasya Shodashim Kalam Narhataha. So, not even 1/16th part of that happiness obtained by overcoming craving or external desires is these worldly happinesses. Nothing can be equated to the happiness or sukha that is derived by attaining firmness in santosha or contentment. This is the view of Vyasa on anuttamaha sukhalabha by santosha, the practice of santosha. Now we move to tapas. Tapas is the benefits of tapas is kayendriya siddhihi ashuddhi kshayat tapasah. Kaya siddhihi and indriya siddhihi are attained by the practice of tapas as it removes ashuddhi. As Vyasa's commentary is worth noting, he says, nivartyamanameva tapaha hinasti ashuddhyavarana malam. As one is practicing tapas, then what happens is that all these benefits are achieved. In the case of all other aspects of Yama and Niyama, only when firmness is attained in those, the benefits are listed out, enumerated. Whereas Vyasa says, nivartyamanameva, as it is being practiced, the tapas, what happens is, hinasti ashuddhyavarana malam, it destroys the covering which is the impurities, the covering of the mind, the covering over the intellect. Ashuddhyavarana malam hinasti, it destroys the impurities which cover the real knowledge. And then what happens? Tadavarana malapagamat, when that covering of impurity is destroyed by tapas, what happens is kaya siddhi. Kaya siddhi refers to the various powers of the body. Kaya siddhi. And then indriya siddhi. Various extraordinary powers of the senses that is achieved by kaya siddhi. Vyasa says, animadya kaya siddhihi. The eight benefits like anima, the ashtaishwarya or ashta mahasiddhi, which are called as anima, mahima, garima, laghima, praptihi, prakamyam, ishitvam and vashitvam. These are the eight benefits. If a yogi desires to become small as an atom, he can become that. Mahima, if he desires to enlarge his physical frame to become like a mountain, mahima, big, that can also happen. Garima, he can become heavier. Laghima, he can become lighter. Praptihi, from wherever he is, he can access things which are far away. Praptihi. The example given there, it will, of course, all this kaya siddhi is discussed in the vibhuti pada also. We will see it there also. Angulya grena chandram sprushati, that is what is praptihi. He can touch with his fingers tip the moon, so that is praptihi. And prakamyam is whatever he desires, that will be achieved. Ishitvam, he becomes the lord, or he controls, ability to control others. And then vashitvam, everyone naturally are gravitating towards him, everyone is attracted towards him, that also happens. So all this is kaya siddhi. And then for indriya siddhi, Vyasa mentions durat Shravana Darshanadya. So all the senses become extremely tuned that they can, for example, he can hear sounds from very, very long distances, and then he can see things which are beyond the normal capability of human eye. All these refinements of the senses are achieved by tapas. Tapasaha kayendriya siddhihi ashuddhi kshayat. As the impurities reduced in the practice of tapas, kaya and indriya siddhis are achieved. Then swadhyayat ishta devata samprayogaha. By swadhyaya ishta devata samprayogaha. Ishta devata, by the practice of swadhyaya, is reading literature, reading scriptures that moksha shastra adhyayanam, that mention or discuss about attainment of moksha or liberation, study of those, and then that is swadhyaya, and pranavadi japa and repetition of pranava, that is also swadhyaya. Arthabhavanam, along with arthabhavanam, along with recollecting, reflecting the meaning of it, doing the japa of pranava, that is also swadhyaya. What is achieved by that is ishta devata samprayogaha. So samprayogaha is contact with ishta devata, the deity that he desires to see. So whichever deity or god or divine form that he desires to see, that appears before him. So, and Vyasa's, again going to Vyasa's commentary, devaha rishayaha siddhascha swadhyaya shilasya darshanam gacchanti. The gods, the rishis, siddhas, who have attained great yogic powers, swadhyaya shilasya, the one who is immersed in swadhyaya, to him darshanam gacchanti, they appear before him. Whenever he desires to meet any of these, he can meet, or he will visualize, or he will see them. And not only that, karyecha asya vartante, they will also help in the actions of the yogi. Whatever the yogi desires, they will help the yogi to achieve. So they will assist him in his actions. Is my voice heard? Can you hear me? Is there any interruptions? One of the participants in the class says that I'm not getting the sound.
Oh no, the sound has been constant and good all the way through.
Ah, fine. So I request Mohan Mahodaya to kindly check his sound system, because I get response from others that the sound is fine. Okay. So this is Swadhyaya's benefit. Ishta devata samprayogaha. As and when the yogi desires, he can meet all the ethereal or the divine forms and request their help for whatever work he wants to achieve. Okay. And then Ishvara Pranidhanam. By Ishvara Pranidhanam is the fifth aspect of Niyama. By Ishvara Pranidhanam, Samadhi Siddhihi. A yogi achieves Samadhi by Ishvara Pranidhanam. Now, this is a very interesting sutra which says Samadhi is attained. Samadhi, which is the goal of yoga, that is attained by the practice of Ishvara Pranidhanam. There are a lot of discussions on this point, whether when the Samadhi is attained by a single practice, that is Ishvara Pranidhanam, why so many yamas and niyamas and other things, asanas and pranayama, when Ishvara Pranidhanam itself achieves the goal, then that the reply is given in various ways in the commentaries. They say, according to the orientation of each and every commentator, the Sanskrit commentators, they give various responses. One commentator says that Ishvara Pranidhanam independently reaches or helps in reaching Samadhi. The other commentator says that, of course, other limbs are essential, but Ishvara Pranidhanam is the one which clinches that state. It is the very crucial limb which helps in attainment of Samadhi. So, various explanations are there in various commentaries. Now, let us see what Vyasa says. He says, Ishwararpita Sarvabhavasya. A person who has surrendered all his bhava, all his actions to Ishvara, the Ishvara is defined. Again, Ishvara here does not mean the Ishvara that we generally understand by the term of Ishvara. Again, Ishvara is clearly defined in the Yoga Sutra, in the first chapter, as Klesha Karma Vipaka Ashayaihi Aparamrishtaha Purusha Visheshaha Ishvaraha. So that is Ishvara in yoga parlance, in the context of yoga. So surrendering sarva bhava, Ishvara Pranidhana, is interpreted by Vyasa in this way. Ishvara arpita sarva bhavasya. Arpita, surrendering sarva bhava, all actions to Ishvara. What happens is samadhi siddhihi. What is derived out of this is samadhi siddhihi. Yatha yaya sarvam ipsitam avitatham janati deshantare dehantare kalantare cha tatah asya prajna yathabhutam prajanati iti. The meaning of samadhi is restricted in this manner by Vyasa. I will explain this. Vyasa here does not mention this samprajñāta or asamprajñāta samadhi in the context of Ishvara Pranidhanam here. He says that by the samadhi mentioned here, the samadhi mentioned here refers to yaya sarvam īpsitam avitatham jānāti, which means whatever he desires to know, a yogi, whatever he desires to know, he knows them clearly. I think I have given this example earlier also. In the story of Raghuvamsha, written by Kalidasa, the king Dilipa goes to sage Vasishtha and he says that I have no sons and daughters. So what is the reason? Then the sage Vasishtha meditates. He meditates and then he wants to know the cause of the lack of progeny or lack of the birth of a son to Dilipa. So when he wants to know it, by probably he does Ishvara Pranidhanam and he simply knows the cause. So that aspect is mentioned here. So whatever a yogi desires to know will be known. That is one aspect of samadhi that is mentioned here by Vyasa. Deshantare, a thing might have happened in a different place. Dehantare, an experience which is undergone by a different, in a different body. And then kalantare, an experience that might have happened in a different time. Cha, all that has happened. So all that is happened in a different place, in a different body, and in a different frame of time. All that is known as it is. So by this samadhi. So the role of this samadhi is to throw light on whatever things that the yogi desires to know about. And tataha asya prajna yatha bhutam prajanati. So it visualizes all these things which may be removed from space, from time, and it might have been experienced in a different body. So all that is known as it is. So this is the specific samadhi which is achieved by Ishvara Pranidhanam, which is a part of Niyama. Of course, various sub-commentators like Tattva Vachaspati Mishra and Vijnana Bhikshu interpret this samadhi as sampragnata and asampragnata. Those discussions are there. But the general understanding that we get directly from the principal commentator Vyasa is that by Ishvara Pranidhanam, all truths will simply be laid bare before the yogi. Whatever thing he desires to know will be known by him. That is the state of samadhi in the context of the niyama, Ishvara Pranidhana, which is practiced under the niyama. So this is what we gain from the commentary of Vyasa. So these are the avantara phalas of the niyamas. So we saw the intermediate benefits of yama and now niyama. So now we move on to the next unit. So we saw that in three phases, yama and niyama were presented. In sutras 35 to 45, we saw that yama and niyama were listed and they were defined, number one. And then overcoming difficulties in practice of yama and niyama by pratipaksha bhavanam, that is mentioned. And then the intermediate benefits of yama and niyama, they were also mentioned. So a three-stage discussion and yama on yama and niyama was the content of unit 7 of the second chapter, which is the penultimate unit, unit 7. And now we move to the last unit, last segment of the second chapter. It is on the three limbs, the next three limbs, asana, pranayama and pratyahara. So as I mentioned earlier, the second chapter, though it mentions ashtangas, only five angas are discussed. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama and pratyahara. Dharana, dhyana and samadhi, the last three limbs, angas, are discussed in detail in the third chapter. Okay. So, the sutras 46 to 55 of the last segment is dedicated to the three limbs, asana, pranayama and pratyahara. Again, the same template can be seen here also. The same template which was used for describing yama and niyama is used here. A three-stepped template, which means discussing the definition of asana, or discussing the definition of the respective yoganga, and then describing the methods of its practice, that is the second aspect, and then the intermediate benefits that is derived from the practice. So these three steps are discussed for these three limbs, asana, pranayama and pratyahara, in the sutras which lie between the range of 46 and 55. Okay, now we move into asanam. It's a very popular aspect. Asanam, again the sutras 46, 47 and 48 discuss asanam. Asanam is sthira sukham. Sthira sukham asanam. This is the lakshanam or definition of asanam. Asanam is that which is comfortable and at the same time steady and firm. Patanjali Yoga Sutras themselves do not mention any asana, but they give only the characteristics of the asana here. Vyasa, the principal commentator, mentions some 15-16 asanas like Padmasana, Virasana, Bhadrasana, Swastikasana, Dandasana and many asanas. But the essential aspect of all these asanas is that it should be comfortable and also sthiram. It should be steady and firm. Vyasa does not discuss these two terms, sthira and sukha. The sub-commentators like Tattva Vaisharadi of Vachaspati Mishra, sub-commentaries of Tattva Vaisharadi and Vartika of Vijnana Bhikshu, they of course simply mention the meaning of the terms. Sthiram is nishchalam, without any movement is sthiram, and sukham, sukhavaham, that which gives comfort, that is sthira sukham. This much of discussion only is found on the terms sthira and sukha. Of course, practitioners of various forms of yoga will have a lot of explanation on this term sthira and sukha, because this is now considered, asana is considered a very important limb of yoga and is very popular that way, and hence many dimensions of this sthira and sukha, practical inputs on this sthira sukha can be given. But from the point of view of Ashtanga yoga, the practice of asana or asana is such that there should be no chalanam or movement, sthira and sukha, at the same time it should be comfortable. This lakshana itself indicates that asana is a stepping stone. So by achieving this sthira and sukha, focus from the body can be overcome, and then focus on higher things, on the mind, focusing the mind can be achieved. That seems to be the purpose implied from the very definition of asana, sthira sukham asanam. This is the lakshana that is given here. And then upaya, how to achieve this sthira sukham? Prayatna shaithilyananta samapattibhyam. The next sutra, prayatna shaithilya ananta samapattibhyam. By prayatna shaithilya and by ananta samapatti, asana becomes sthira and sukha. Though there is not much discussion on the definition of asanas themselves, the method, the very two vital techniques of Prayatna Shaithilya and Ananta Samapatti, that is worth noting, that is mentioned here. Actually, this concept of Prayatna Shaithilya and Ananta Samapatti are really, the ideas are, very many ideas are there on Prayatna Shaithilya and Ananta Samapatti. Each of the sub-commentator presents a different view on these Prayatna Shaithilya and Ananta Samapatti. Of course, by the way, I have written an article on Prayatna Shaithilya and Ananta Samapatti. Two different articles, one on Prayatna Shaithilya and the other on Ananta Samapatti. Why I said this, in two international journals, research journals have published. One is the Yoga Mimamsa and the other is International Journal of Yoga. They have been published in two different journals, research journals. This is to indicate that the ideas are really vast on Prayatna Shaithilya and Ananta Samapatti. To state in brief, I can share those articles. I can put them up in the website along with the recordings of this lesson. I can upload those two articles also for your perusal. You can just go through them to understand the various meanings of the terms Prayatna Shaithilya and Ananta Samapatti. The idea is why I ventured into writing a comment research article on Prayatna Shaithilya and Ananta Samapatti separately is that it is always understood in a very different manner. Whereas normally the traditional commentaries are not considered while explaining these two sutras in a yoga class. These two techniques speak about the method of practicing sthira, the asana, and hence these two techniques are of course spoken about in asana classes. But while speaking about these two techniques, what happens is the superficial meaning only is taken, and the rich insights from various traditional commentaries are missed out. So that's why I ventured into writing those two articles. But the general meaning, all that can be presented here is the general meaning in the context of this class. You can read more about that in the articles. Prayatna Shaithilya means slackening of effort. Slackening of effort is a method by which sthira sukha asana is achieved. The efforts should be slackened. What does this mean? Again, when we consult Vyasa, he simply says, Prayatno paramat siddhyati asanam. He simply supplies another word for the term Shaithilya, that is uparama or reduction. Reduction of prayatna leads to the success in asana, siddhyati asanam. Though he states this, he adds a vital input here, yena na angamejayo bhavati. He says that prayatna refers to effort which needs to be slackened. What kind of effort needs to be slackened? He does not mention it directly, but gives an indication to that by saying, yena na angamejayaha bhavati. So, all the efforts which will lead to the trembling of the limbs should be slackened, by which sthira sukham asanam will be achieved. Based on this idea of Vyasa, various sub-commentators present their views. So, what will lead to the trembling of the limbs? Angamejaya. What will lead to the trembling of the limbs which will adversely affect sthira and sukha? They conclude in a very different way. Vachaspati Mishra says that a casual effort in sitting, that is prayatna here, and then because of that, when a person while sitting before a TV or something, a computer, he simply sits in a relaxed way. He does not focus on how he sits. What happens is he keeps shifting. A person who sits that way without any special focus on how he is sitting, that is called as samsiddhika prayatna, the natural effort in sitting. Natural effort in sitting is sitting without having any focus on how we sit. That is the natural effort. So that will lead to angamejaya. That will lead to the trembling and movement in the limbs. When a person simply sits on a sofa, couch, what happens is he keeps shifting, and that has to be slackened, implying that while sitting, one has to sit consciously, which means one has to follow all the steps for proper practice of asana. So that is Prayatna Shaithilya in the view of Vachaspati Mishra. And each and every commentator mentions his own view on what Prayatna Shaitilya is. And one practical hint that I liked most is that I think it's Vijnana Bhikshu. He says, Bahuvyaparanantaram asana akaranam. That is, just before the practice of asana, one should not have indulged in strenuous physical activity. Strenuous physical activity before the practice of asana is prayatna, according to, I think, Vijnana Bhikshu. So that prayatna has to be slackened. So avoiding strenuous physical activity is called prayatna shaitilya. By that, the asana naturally becomes firm and comfortable. Or else what happens is trembling of the limbs happens. So before the practice of asana, non-indulgence in excessive physical activities, strenuous physical activities, is prayatna shaitilya, which avoids trembling of limbs, which naturally leads to sthira sukham asanam. And then the other method is ananta samapatti. This sutra has another reading also, anantya samapatti. Ananta means again, Vyasa again does not mention much on this. Ananteva samapannam chittam asanam nirvartayati. So he simply splits the compound and explains, and he does not throw any much light on that. So we have to go into the sub commentaries as to understand what ananta samapatti is. Again, the term ananta has many meanings. In Bhagavad Gita it is said anantaschasmi naganam. Ananta is the name of a sarpa, naga, which is mostly associated with Adishesha, the Shesha, which is the recline of Lord Vishnu. So by practicing samapatti, by getting transformed, by allowing the mind to transform into ananta, into the form of ananta, what happens is sthira sukham asanam is achieved. So by meditating upon, in essence, by meditating upon the Adishesha, who is called as Ananta, sthira sukham asanam is achieved. That is one interpretation. So how does that work? See, prayatna shaithilya helps in avoiding trembling of limbs, and through that it achieves sthira sukham asanam. Ananta samapatti, what is the mechanism of its working? If we take ananta as adishesha, to this various explanations are available in the sub-commentary, which should be studied by every practitioner of asana. It's very important to go and study all the interpretations given in the commentaries and sub-commentaries, the traditional commentaries and sub-commentaries in Sanskrit. It is so insightful. So, one commentator, Sada, we don't find much in the sub-commentaries of Vyasa's commentary. The independent commentaries, one of the independent commentaries is by Sadashiva Brahmendra. In his Yoga Sudhakara commentary, he says that Adishesha is the embodiment of sthira and sukha. He is holding, or upon him, the Lord Vishnu is reclining. Though he is holding the Lord of the universe, and of course on the head of Adishesha, on the hood of Adishesha, the Puranas state that the entire world stands. So it is upon the head of Adishesha that the entire world stands. Though he is bearing such a weight, Adishesha is still firm. If there is any movement in Adishesha, then the world will tremble. That is the Puranic idea. So as the world is firm and steady, it can be infirmed it can be inferred, the inference can be achieved that Adishesha is in a state of Sthira and Sukha Asana. So, he is a role model for every yogi who aspires to attain an asana which is Sthira and Sukha. So, meditating upon Adishesha as a role model for maintaining a Sthira and Sukha asana, though holding the entire universe on his head, though supporting the entire universe on the head, if a yogi meditates in such a manner, then by that, his mind will also attain a transformation which will lead to Sthira Sukha Asanam. So, we can beautifully see here that many, many ideas can be derived out of this. Prayatna Shaithilya deals with the physical aspect of asana, non-indulgence in strenuous physical activity before the practice of asana helps in avoiding trembling of limbs, which will contribute to Sthira Sukha Asana. Ananta Samapatti works at the level of the mind. It presents a role model, that is Adishesha, to derive inspiration from Adishesha, to maintain the same kind of Sthira and Sukha posture as Adishesha is in. So that is again one interpretation of Ananta Samapatti, which is at the level of the mind. So Prayatna Shaithilya works at the level of the body, and Ananta Samapatti works at the level of mind to attain Sthira Sukham Asanam. This also implies that both the body and the mind are to be put in the practice of asana. I am going strictly by the classical commentaries. No interpretation is mine. So, why I am saying this is that I see in many English translations very strange interpretations. To quote a person, George Feuerstein, he is a very famous author. He is a very famous translator of Yoga Sutra. He says, all fanciful interpretations are given to this sutra. Way back in 1980s itself, in his commentary, translation to Yoga Sutra, he mentions this. This is one of the sutras of Patanjali Yoga Sutra, which is often misinterpreted. So, as I promised, I will upload the commentary, my research articles, which are based entirely on the classical commentaries, which discuss these two concepts, Prayatna Shaithilya and Ananta Samapatti, which are techniques to achieve the Sthira and Sukha Asana. So, thus, this is the upaya. We have run out of time. So two aspects we have seen. We'll just mention the third one also. Two aspects of asana, the definition of asana, the technique of asana, two techniques at the level of body and mind is mentioned. And then finally, the benefit that is derived, the avantara phala that is derived out of asana is dvandva anabhighataha. A yogi who has achieved success in asana, firmness in asana, he overcomes, he is capable of withstanding the assault of the pair of opposites. Anabhighataha. He is not harmed or he is not disturbed by the pair of opposites. So what are the pair of opposites? Shita, Ushna, heat and cold, yogi can withstand. Shita Ushna Dibhihi Dvandvaihi Asana Jayat Na Abhibhuyate. So, at the level of the body, yogi is not harmed, is not disturbed by change external. It may be cool or it may be hot. A yogi is not disturbed by these pair of opposites. And the Vyasa used the term Adi, etc. in the same way. So Shita and Ushna are mentioned by Vyasa. The others, of course, are at the level of mind, probably. Sukha, Dukha, Labha, Jaya, Mana and Apamana are some other pairs of opposites that create a lot of imbalance at the state of mind. So, as we see, the success in the practice of asana helps the practitioner of asana to withstand the assault of the pair of opposites. So he can face those pair of opposites with an undisturbed, unperturbed mind. So this is the lakshana, upaya and avantara phala of asana. So we have to take up pranayama and pratyahara. We will discuss that in the upcoming next class. And just to inform you, the next class, which falls on the 26th, that class will not happen on the 26th. This class will be resumed. The next week's class is cancelled. Again, I'm out of town on that day. I'm returning actually on the morning. So the next class will happen on the first week of March, the first Friday of March, that is the 4th. So with this, and of course you will get an email notification in that regard about the cancellation of the next week's class. So with this we end today's session. So kindly reserve your questions for the next class. In the course of the week, there is a question: will the articles be posted today or later? In a couple of days, by Sunday, I can say that these two articles, along with the recording of this, the 20th class, will be online. It can be accessible from the Sanskrit from Home website. So we end it here with the shloka and Patanjali. Yogena chittasya padena vacham malam sharirasya cha vaidyakena yopakarottam pravaram muninam patanjalim pranjaliranatosmi. Dhanyavadah, shubhadinam. Dhanyavadah Paul Mahodaya. Hello.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
So your articles there will have like quotes of what you looked at in the commentaries, or is it strictly in English?
It is in English and with the quotes. It is extensive quotation from all the classical commentaries in Sanskrit available. I referred to about 12 commentaries, and you will of course get all the quotes with regard to Prayatna Shaitilya and Ananta Samapatti. And I have also come out with some flowcharts based on the views in the commentary that can also be accessed.
Okay, good. Great.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.